Morning again. It's great to be with you all today. I love this story from the book of Acts. And originally we were going to make that, it's a very long reading, and I told Ann, you know, originally we were going to split that in a couple of readings, but I think it's related to this other story we heard today about Jesus in the upper room. So let's start by talking a little bit about Paul, where we find him. Come on now, y'all just going to let me preach all this whole time like this? Is that what y'all were going to let me do? It's not Christmas, guys. It's not Advent, I'm sorry. Let's just start over. Y'all ready? Good morning. You guys sounded more ready that time too, so that works out for everybody. We have this great story about Paul in Acts, and one of the things that's amazing is if we remember just briefly kind of the life of Paul. Paul was an ardent Jew. He was trained and he was a persecutor of the church, and he encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he's struck blind and he falls down off a horse or not. We don't know for sure, but somehow he falls down and he is told how to become a follower of the Lord. And so he goes through this process and he works at becoming integrated into the existing leadership of the church. But it's clear early on that he's going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And so we spent a few weeks talking about Peter and how Peter is this one who has this kind of transformation from insider to outsider. He understands that what was originally for the good Jews on the inside now is a message for everyone. Well, Paul becomes the bearer of that message for everyone. And so Paul, who's a little temperamental on occasion, he's out wandering around, and Luke doesn't give us a lot of details. Just one day he's wandering towards the place of prayer, and they encounter this slave girl who is making money for her owners because she has a spirit inside her that allows her to predict the future. And so she, this slave girl, is walking behind Paul and Silas, screaming, "These are slaves of the Most High God. They can tell you how to be saved." And for a while, Paul accepts the free publicity. This goes on for a few days. And it's good publicity because she's telling people this guy's got the truth. But enough is enough at some point, right? And so he turns around and he doesn't even talk to the girl. He just says to the spirit, "Get out of here." And that's when he threatens the financial well-being of these slave owners. That's when he gets in trouble. It's all cool that he's preaching Jesus until his power and proclamation affects their bottom line. And when it affects their bottom line, then they say, "Throw that guy in jail." They don't know, by the way, that Paul is an upstanding Roman citizen. Later on, they're going to have a little bit of a hard time because they shouldn't have treated him like they did, but they don't know that. They grab him and Silas and they beat him. And normally that's what would happen. They would grab these troublemakers who were causing some financial trouble in town. They beat them and they kick them out. But this time, they beat them and they put them in jail, which is a little odd. But then, as they are in jail, in the midst of their difficult circumstance, they are praising God and praying and singing. And in the midst of this praising and singing and everybody's listening, there's like this earthquake. And suddenly, the door pops open. Their shackles are opened. And they are free to go. Hallelujah. Amen. The circle will not be broken. Free to go. And so they look out and they don't leave. Because as they look and the jailer sees what has happened, he's about to fall on his sword. He's about to commit suicide. Because he is so distraught that he has failed in his job. And better to take himself out than to bear the shame and the consequences from the authority. But Paul and Silas are still there. I don't know about you, but if I was in jail and suddenly I was free to go, I would probably go. Right? Hey man, if God wants to open the doors, you just walk through them. We got lots of platitudes we could talk about, right? Somehow, for some reason, they don't leave. they stick around. And it's almost like the jailer doesn't see them at first, and he's about to kill himself, and they say, "Whoa, we're still here. It's okay." What on earth possesses them to stick around? Why do they who have been persecuted by this man and the authority he represents care enough to stick around? I think it goes back to this prayer of Jesus. This is the last segment of Jesus' last prayer for his followers before he is going to his passion and the crucifixion. It's his last segment of his last prayer. And this whole segment of his prayer is about unity. It's about connectedness. It's about being together. He says, "I ask not only on behalf of these who are here with me, but on behalf of everyone who might come after them because of their testimony." So not just the ones who are on the inside now, but I ask for this unity for everyone. Just as I am connected to you, God, may they also be connected to us. Unity is a real pain in the rear. I'm going to be honest with you. It is really easy right now to be engaged in active disunity. Or as we call it, Facebook. Right? Look, our default is us versus them. And we don't even care that them is a changing target. Us versus them versus them versus them versus them. As long as it's us, and us is a changing target, because sometimes you might be with me and sometimes you might be one of them. But ultimately, I am wired to be against you. Right? This goes back to like Cain and Abel, okay? We believe in a game that does not exist. A competitive game to the detriment of our brothers and sisters. Jesus knows this, and he says, no, God, please. Just as I am unified with you, let not just these here, but those who will come after be unified with us. There's a couple of powerful things there. One, when Jesus prays, it would have been a very different prayer if he had just prayed for those right there, right then. But see, Jesus believes in this very powerful word, yet. And the reality is, none of us know what is on the other side of yet. I am not a professional baseball player. Yet. There was a 40-something-year-old guy who had his first home run in the major leagues this weekend. Bartolo Colon. If he can do it, there's some hope for me. There have been plenty of Disney movies that prove that. See, we live in a world where we don't like to give the power of yet to people. We like to just square them off where they are, and where you are is where you're going to be in my mind forever. And wherever you're at now, I don't want to let you be something different than you are, because I might have to change my mind about you. This is what Peter was going through. See, Peter already went through this whole, those people are on the outside, and then there's that whole like blanket full of bacon, and he's like, oh, maybe not. Time and time again, this is the message of Jesus and God through Jesus to us, that there is a reality deeper than what we see. We see division very easily, but beneath the lines that divide us, there is a reality that we are all connected. And Jesus says, not just those who are around here right now, not just these here right now, but those who might yet be here. Yet is a word full of hope, a word full of potential, the same kind of potential that exists in every single person you know and may know. They're not done yet, and neither are you. This kind of hopeful inclusivity of Jesus is powerful. It says, don't draw those lines, because even those who may be our enemy right now, like Paul, may yet be one of us. So unify us all. And the second powerful reality about unity, the kind of power that makes Paul and Silas stick around, is that unity is not defined as uniformity. And we mistake those all the time. Denisha, can I pick on you for just a second? Can you come up here? Y'all say hi, Denisha. I was looking around, Jess and I were talking about who is the least like me in this room. Welcome to Denisha. Denisha's a 13-year-old black girl, right? I am not a 13-year-old black girl. Did you know that we're really made up of the exact same stuff? Did you know that the things that make me who I am somewhere are somehow mystically the same that make her who she is? That doesn't mean we're exactly alike. She could easily beat me at basketball. I'm good at fouling, though, so don't play with me. I will foul you, no matter how old you are. You think you can beat me at basketball? Yeah, Jill says yes. That's a fair, we know. I might could beat you at golf. What do you think? You play golf? I might could beat her at golf because she doesn't play. But see, somehow, where the world would love to see all these things that divide us, we are, at our essence, indivisible. Okay, you can sit back down for a second. I'll give her a hand just for standing here and let me pick an arm. Jesus gets that it's so easy for us to draw these lines, political, ideological, physical, sexual, gender, pick a category and you can draw a line around it. But beneath it all, we are made of the same stuff. The same particles. The same God-breathed spirit. Jesus gets to a deeper mystical reality. And what he means by unity, in my best guess, is not that we all have to agree. It's not that we have to get to some new place where we are more unified. We have to understand the reality that we are already unified and united right now. It is not learning a new thing. It is remembering a deeper truth. And so with that in mind, Paul and Silas don't see an enemy who has captured them. They see one who is connected to them, though he may not know it yet. And so they stick around for the benefit of their oppressor, that he might come to be united with them. Look at the front of your worship guide for a second. I like this picture for this reason. If you took your finger right at the top of this dude's head, where Jesus' elbow is coming into his head, and you traced this line around Jesus' hand and up around Jesus' head and down around Jesus' other arm to his other hand, you would connect to the shoulder of this guy on the left. And then you would continue to draw that line back around to the head of the other guy until you came right back to where you started. So what at first glance appears to be some separate lines, some separate people, is in reality one line connecting them all. The separation is the illusion. The reality is the connectedness. There is not much of a better example than Paul and Silas and the jailer of what would be an easy setup, just right down the middle pitch for us versus them. And we already know Paul is good at being annoyed. That's what started all this. But yet somehow the mystery of grace moves deeper than his annoyance and his desire to be free, so that he is more concerned about connecting than fleeing. He is more concerned about saving than winning. And we come to this beautiful passage where this jailer who has just been kept from committing suicide utters this plea that all of us have felt at one time or another. What must I do to be saved? And is he asking about some spiritual truth? Or is he asking just what gets me out of this hot mess I'm in right now? And Paul says, believe in Jesus. He doesn't say do these things. He says, kind of like Jesus says, believe in this deeper reality that we're already connected. Paul says, believe in the name of Jesus that you are being saved. And because of that, sticking around, he and his whole household are saved. Saved not only from that present moment where Paul and Silas go back to jail until they're freed, saved not only from that crucial moment, but saved in that deep way we struggle to explain. The one who has oppressed them feeds them and cleanses their wounds, because by the grace of God they stuck around. It is easy to look here and to find things that divide us. It is easy to leave here and find things that could separate us. But you want to do some deep Jesus work? See beyond the lines that are easy to draw. Stick around with those you disagree with and who oppress you and who just really bum you out. Stick around with those that you might not to their face, or you might to their face, call dumb because they disagree with you. Stick around and get over yourself and see what God does. Because it won't just be good for you. It'll be good for the world. Amen.